I want to talk about is the importance of growing our faith and why it is so important. I really believe that as we go into this next season, and when I say season, you know, I'm not here to say, you know, 2023, you know, the world is ending, you better stockpile. That's not really what I'm talking about. I'm really talking about just as we continue in these last days, it is imperative that us as believers grow our faith. You know, we cannot continue to do what we did back in the 90s. You know, the 90s was, you know, even when I grew up, in the 90s was a piece of cake. You know, you didn't really have anything. But you know, as we get into these last days and all this, the enemy's really just going after families, going after marriages, going after health, we really must believe in the Lord and really put our whole confidence in the Lord. And it's imperative now more so than ever before just to kind of, you know, play games. We can't play games with God. You know, I was watching this prophetic thing and they're talking about stockpiling food and all this stuff. And so I hear that a lot. And we're like, stockpile food and this and this and this. And I'm kind of like, you know, I've heard it enough to where I'm like, well, I'll just shoot from the hip. You know, if I don't have food, then I know who to go rob and I'll be all right. You know, you know, you just get tired of it. But this guy came up and said, yeah, that's going to happen. But he's like, I also see that God is going to release the miracle of multiplication throughout the earth. And I was like, yes, it wasn't a doom and gloom prophecy, but it was like, yeah, it's going to get tough. But guess what? Even in the tough, God is going to do something great. And kind of like Elijah and the widow, and where her oil and flour didn't run out. It was the spirit of multiplication. And so I got really excited and I was like, all right, that's really cool. And so in order to go into where we want to go, I believe that we have to grow in our faith. And what I want to talk about really is where I'm gearing towards is not, I'm not talking about the gift of faith, which is, you know, it is a gift from the Holy Spirit at certain times for faith. But I'm talking about our faith that is we have, when we become saved, we get a measure of faith and it is up to us to grow that faith. Some people just come in and they get saved and they have this itty bitty faith. they just go throughout life with that. But what I'm talking about is we must grow our faith. So my question is, where is your faith? Where is your faith? It is up to us to develop and grow our faith. So, beloved, faith should be consistent. And we're going to go through some scripture today, but faith should be consistent. It should not be a fair weather thing that you use. Well, stuff's going great. Life is going great. And so your faith, you know, it's easy to have faith when, you know, you got, when your finances are all in order, and your marriage is good, your health is good, you know, your dog's still here, your cat's still here. You know, it's, your faith gets stretched when your marriage is on the rocks, when you're sick, you know, when your bank account, you know, you got $2 in your bank and you're like, whoa, my mortgage is due tomorrow. You know, that's when your faith gets tested. And so many times we exercise our faith when times are good. Faith should be strong even when it's not convenient. Faith should be seen in our daily lives. Whether you're just going, taking your kids to school, whether you're at the grocery store, faith should be in our daily lives. When people see you, they should see your faith. When they see Glenn, man, Glenn's faith is there. Colleen's faith is there. Tiffany's faith is there. They should see your faithfulness when you walk, when you talk, and in your actions through adversary. Now, I don't tell a lot of people when I travel. I used to tell a lot, but now I don't tell people as much when I travel. I tell them when I get back. Because faith, you know, you can have people who exercise great faith and you have people exercise bad faith. Colleen could be like, I guarantee you, she came up tomorrow and was like, hey, I feel like the Lord wants to go, you know, send me on the mission field. I'm going to go to Uganda or something really crazy. I guarantee you all of us are going to be like, all right, glory to God. Like, hey, you can do it. Go bring heaven. You go tell that to other people. Hey, I'm going here. Are you sure? I don't know. People are dying over there. And they have lack of faith. You know, Kelvin, he tells me, he's like, man, I don't even tell people anymore. When I tell people when I get back, they're like, oh, we didn't even know you were gone. Because he's like, so many times I tell people the Lord is taking me here. And they're like, I don't know, brother. It's dangerous. It's this. You know, you can say, you know what, I believe that the Lord's going to pay off my house. Go tell that to some of your church friends. Oh, well, that's a good thing to hope for. That's a good thing to pray. You know, Cindy is, she's been challenging me. She called me up a few months ago, and she's like, you know, her house got paid off, and she's like, Josh, I'm praying that somebody pays off your house. And it took me a little bit. I was like, okay, cool, Cindy, I'm with you. But the more I talked to her, I'm like, yeah, you know how much money I can save? I was like, yeah, this can be my house. And so we started, and that's the people you want that have that God-like faith, not that weak, wimpy faith, that gummy bear Christian faith that's like, well, we just hope. We don't want that. If you believe that God sent his son to die for our sins, then you should believe that he will bring whatever comes your way. He will bring you out. He'll bring you blessings. He will help you. Our faithfulness, when seen, can be a great witness for Christ. And I really believe that. As we go through life and when you're going through trials and tribulation, as people see, wow, they're really faithful. They really put their trust in the Lord. It's a great witness. So what is faith? Well, Timothy said in 2 Timothy 1:12, he says, I know whom I have believed. And actually, if you have your Bibles, well, actually, I can turn to it real quick. 2 Timothy 1:12, because it is such a good, as I was reading, I was like, oh, man, just that little paraphrase isn't good. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, it says, which is why I suffer as I do, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. I love that. Timothy's like, I know who I believe, and I have complete confidence until the day that I go on or I graduate to heaven or graduate, you know, I go to, you know, be with the Lord, that he will take care of me no matter what. Faith is total trust in Jesus. To many unbelievers, faith is a science. Unbelievers, even, you know, I could even, this might step on people's shoes or toes, but I can also say there are many believers put faith in science. And we heard a lot about that in the past couple of years. Trust the science. Trust the science. I'm like, you know what? Your science is bogus. Faith is a devotion to God. Let's see what the book of Hebrews has to say about faith. Please turn with me to Hebrews 11, and we're going to read not the whole chapter, but the first 11 verses. And this is pretty much the faith chapter. You know, everyone, you can go to different subjects. If you want love, you go to 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians 13. And this is like, if you want to know about faith, this is faith. So I'm just going to read a few verses, not the whole thing, because most of us should know it. If you don't know, go to Hebrews chapter 11 and read the whole chapter. It's very good. But after verse 11, it starts talking about our forefathers and foremothers from the Old Testament, how they exercised their faith. But this is what it says. It says, Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their condemnation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that were visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, though which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gift. And through faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, his commended the world, and because they're heirs and their righteousness that comes by faith. We'll just stop there. As you can see, and it goes far, it talks about Abraham, it talks about Sarah. As you can see, what is the writer of Hebrews talking about? He is talking about by faith. God instructed Noah to build the ark. Noah, I want you to build this boat. What's a boat, God? Well, it's something that floats on water because it's going to rain. What's rain, God? It's this stuff that's going to come from the heavens. Because at that time, the Bible, if you go through the scripture, it talks about that there was rain on the earth. It was everything was watered by the dew. And so, you know, that's a faith. You know, when you don't know something and God tells you, hey, I want you to go build a boat. Why? Because it's going to rain. I've never seen rain. Noah had to exercise his faith. When God told Abraham, you're going to have a son. What? I am old. That he had to exercise his faith. Beloved, true faith is confidence in Jesus. True faith is obedience to God's word. Your faith will be tried. Charles Spurgeon once said, and probably no one's going to, after I say this, everyone's going to be like, I just want to keep my faith where it's at. But Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, if you want great faith, then expect great trials. Everybody's like, you know what? I'll just have my weak faith. I'm good. I'll just stay with this little bit. But what it is, I think it's such a key. If you want great faith, then expect great trials. Faith is the common denominator in our lives. When we got up this morning, we had faith that the light would come on. I don't think when Aiden got up today and he turned on the light, he wasn't like, Lord, I hope this comes on. He just had faith. He just hits a button, poof, the lights come on. My children, when they sit, as I sit in this chair, I hope that the guys who constructed this metal did a great job. You know, I just sit on and I have faith that it's going to hold me up. Have I sat in broken chairs before? Yes, I have. And my faith was tested, I guess. No. The Bible insists that we personally put our faith in Jesus. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, nor is there any salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. They don't bother me. I love it. C.S. Lewis said this, and we all know C.S. Lewis, and I encourage you, if you haven't read his book, Mere Christianity, is actually really good, and it has little revelations and revelatory things that he got from the Lord about Christianity. But C.S. Lewis said this. He said, faith is the art of holding on to things in spite of your changing moods and circumstances. I read that. I was like, holy smokes. I said, that's good. Again, we have faith when things are going right, but when things are on the rocks, our faith can kind of be shaken a little bit. Another example of that, excuse me, that God type of faith is George Mueller. And for those who don't know, he was a evangelist back in the, 1800s, I guess, early 19th century, and great faith. But here's an account of what happened. I love this story. This is faith that I want. It says, the children are dressed and ready for school, but there is no food for them to eat. The house mother of the orphanage informed George Mueller. George asked her to take the 300 children into the dining room and have them sit at tables. He thanked God for the food and waited. George knew God would provide food for the children as he always did. Within minutes, a baker knocked on his door. Mr. Mueller, he said, last night I could not sleep. Somehow I knew that you would be in need of bread this morning. I got up and I baked 3 batches for you. I will bring it in. Soon there was another knock at the door. It was the milkman. His cart had broken down in front of the orphanage, and the milk would spoil by the time the wheel was fixed. He asked George if he could use some free milk. George smiled as the milkman brought in 10 large cans of milk. It was just enough for the 300 thirsty children. Isn't that a wild story of faith? To tell all right, guys, get everybody. You know, there's no food in the cupboard. There's no food in the pantry. There's no food on the plates. All right, guys, everyone go sit down and sit at the table. Kind of reminded me of when Peter Pan was in The Hook with Robin Williams when he was in Never Never Land, and he sat at the table, and he's like, where's all the food at? And they're like, this is your favorite game. And he's like, there's nothing here, you know? And so, and now in the movie, they had to imagine that they had food and all that stuff. But I can see that. These kids are like, we're really hungry. And they're like looking at their plates. And George is like, don't worry, God will provide. And then all of a sudden, bread comes, milk comes. It's like, Lord, that's what I want. I want to have supernatural faith. I want to have supernatural encounters. Speaking of supernatural encounter, I don't even know if Colleen knows this one. But there is, we believe that we met an angel during the glory tent. So this is crazy. This could probably be up there with that faith, the George Mueller faith. I know this is a rabbit trail, but it's so good not to speak on. But so one of the Friday nights, we had some friends. They locked their keys in the car. And it was like 10 o'clock at night. And I was kind of like, uh-oh, like, I'm looking at the clock. I'm like, okay, it's getting dark. We need to get out of here, you know, yada, yada. So we're calling. Glenn's calling his, he's calling tow trucks. They're calling tow trucks. The husband's calling tow trucks. Another lady's calling tow trucks and blah, 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 all this stuff. They're all calling. Everyone's like either 2-3 hours away, or in Glenn's case, where's the address of the car? He gives them the address of the west side. Oh, no, we don't go over there. Not at this time at night. And so, so we're just sitting there. We're just like, oh, my goodness. One of these ladies, she calls AAA. AAA is like, we'll be there in like a couple hours or so. And the next thing you know, she gets a call. Hey, I'll be there in 10 minutes. Okay, cool. All right, no problem. We didn't know where he came from, whatever. And this dude shows up, gets out his truck. Took about like 10 seconds. Puts the thing in, boom, doors open. Well, the guy who's the tow truck driver, he was Nigerian, just like the guy, the family who locked their keys in the car. So first off, he was Nigerian. Then people were like, hey, why don't you pray with them? Hey, can we pray with you? What was the quote that he said? Because it's so good. Yeah, something like, are you a believer? And this guy, all he replies is, my father is a man of God. Gets in his truck and he drives off. And we're like, yeah, he didn't ask for money, didn't ask for money, nothing. Yeah, what do we owe you? The guy pretty much just says, you're good. So the lady gets in, she's getting back home, and AAA calls, hey, we'll be out there in 10 minutes. And she's like, no, you guys already came out. They're like, we didn't send anybody out. Nobody has record of this man in a tow truck coming out. Nothing. No record, no nothing. This guy shows up, God does it for free, and so didn't go through anyone's insurance, nothing. It was just, so you can say what you want, but I'm saying, you know what, we entertained angels that night. Like, you cannot, that is the wildest thing, and he was the happiest. Yeah, he was the happiest guy. And it ministered to the couple, because it was just to be a Nigerian in America and then have a Nigerian come and help you. And then for his only phrase was, my father is a man of God. Oh, okay. Like, that is so wild. Yeah, so anyways, I don't know where that has nothing to do with my message, but it was just so good. I had to tell it again, because it's such a great, but again, it's faith. I'm believing by faith that was totally an angel. Like, you know, the scripture, I believe it's in Hebrews, where it talks about that some of us have entertained angels and not even known it. I totally believe that was an angel. And so, yes, yay, I want to have that God type of fear. I want to get to a place in faith that I can have a God type of fear. And let's move over to Mark chapter 11. And this is that God type of faith that I want. Mark chapter 11, verse 12. We all know this one. It's Jesus cursing the fig tree. It says, on the following day, when they came to Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. When he came to it and found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs, and he said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And the disciples heard this. So Jesus was hungry. He wanted to get a bite to eat, went to a fig tree, even though it wasn't fig season, no figs, and Jesus curses this fig tree. Now it says, verse 20, it says, "As they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you curse has withered.' And Jesus answered him, 'Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you had received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you of your trespasses." That is a God-type faith that I want us to get to. That's the God-type faith that I believe that God wants us to get to. Now, if you go into verse 23, and this is kind of off subject too, but it's a great little study to go into. It says, Jesus says, "Have faith in God." And there's two camps. There's a camp that believe that that's the actual translation, because actually, if you go into the Greek, it's three words. It's like faith, God, something, and something else. And there is no like in or about or anything like that. And so you have some scholars that believe exactly what this is written in the ESV, "Have faith in God." And then you have another camp that says, have the faith of God. And so neither one is right nor wrong. It's just whoever translated that portion of scripture, that's what they kind of felt. I'm kind of in the camp of have the faith of God, because there is something different when you have the faith of God. He wasn't like, you know, you can go back to Genesis 1 and where it says, "In the beginning God created." It wasn't God's like, "Well, I hope this mountain is moved, or I hope this land is formed, or I hope these animals." He just said, "Light be, mountains be, birds be," you know, whatever. He just spoke it. There was total faith, and he just spoke it into words, and it came to pass. That's the faith that I believe God wants us to have, that we have faith like God. It's in verse 22. It says, "Have faith in God." Go do a little, do some research on it. It's actually really fun. It took me a week to go through that, and it's actually really good. I meant to put it on, but we'd be here too long. It's like, I can't even read the Greek part, what it says. But anyways, let's speed it up a little bit. We are to pray in faith so that our prayers will actually produce results, believing that God will answer us by releasing a greater measure of his blessing and his power. The power, or the prayer of faith, results in releasing God's blessing in our lives, or provision, or safety, or answered prayers. It includes prayer with confidence in the authority of Jesus over sickness, over the works of darkness, in the blood of Jesus to qualify us weak people to be vessels to release his power. I guarantee you, when you come up to a man or woman of God, you want them to operate in faith. So if Tiffany had an ailment or something, and she comes up to the person of God and they're praying, or just whoever praying, we want them to have the faith that as they pray, that things will happen. Have you ever been to someone, it's like, and I always hated it, I know it's not that big of a deal, but it's my pet peeve. When people are praying for healing and something, they're like, "If it's the will of the Father, would you heal this person?" It bothers me. I'm like, what? When I hear people, like, I usually check out. I'm like, okay, you really don't have the faith to heal or to pray, so don't even bother with me. And there's a reason why I believe this, and it's kind of down a little bit ways, and I'll probably hit that. But you want people to have faith when they pray. I know when folks have me pray, they don't want me like, "Well, Lord, if it's your will, heal their foot," or "I hope this works," or, you know, that's not what you want to hear from someone praying for you. You want to hear the authoritative, "Be done in the name of Jesus." And so that's where the faith comes from. The faith isn't in and of ourselves. you know, we aren't anything special. You know, I'm not healing anybody. Legs aren't growing. I'm not multiplying anything. It's when I partner with Jesus is when the authority comes. That's, I have not faith in myself. When I pray and I see legs grow or multiplication, it's my faith is in Jesus. And as I grow older, my faith is just now partnering with him, seeing that stuff grow. James 5:15 says, and the prayer of faith will save or heal the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. Jesus taught on faith as a foundational kingdom principle. Faith is a foundational principle. If you don't have faith, you've missed it. Just to be saved, you got to be faith. you got to have exercise faith. As we believe him for more of his promises, we will experience more of God's activity and provision for us. And we will enjoy our relationship with him more. Even Jesus was unable to do mighty works where there was a great area of unbelief. That's Mark chapter 6, verses 5 through 6, where he's trying to do miracles in his home. And it says that only a few people got healed or whatnot because of their lack of faith. But we got to have that God-type faith. Matthew 8:13, it says, Jesus said to the centurion, as you have believed, so it be done. That centurion had faith. He just said, look, I'm a man of authority. I recognize you're a man of authority. You say it, it shall be done. He exercised faith. He knew, Jesus, you just say it, and my prayer request will be answered. And Jesus said, yeah. He marveled and said, man, I have not seen anyone in Israel with faith like you. Matthew 9:29, it says, then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be unto you. Beloved, we intentionally cultivate growing in faith by hearing and speaking God's word. Faith grows as we read the Bible. If you got a, you know, if you, you know, get sick or you go to the doctors and they tell you that big, oh, you got cancer or this or that, or you could be, it could be for healing, it could be for your marriage, it could be for your kids, it could be for your finances. Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17, it says, so then, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We want to avoid the two extremes. We want to avoid the humanistic positive thinking that has faith in the human ability rather than God. Oh, just send out, and I hear this in the world a lot, you know, just send out positive vibes, bro. I'm like, what? Positive vibes, they're not going to do, that's not faith, that's not going to get you nowhere. But that's how the world equates the supernatural. We had this one guy, and this lady, she came to our one of the prayer times, and they're like, well, how did you come? She's like, he's just like, well, this lady, she just has like really good vibes. And we're all like, that's the Holy Spirit, but the world doesn't know that. And so we're like laughing because that's all that they know, just positive good vibes. That doesn't get you anywhere. We knew she's different because she has the Holy Spirit in her, because she has Jesus living with her. That's how we knew, and that's what it was, because people were like, man, you just joy. You're full of joy. We're like, yeah, it's the power of Jesus all over her, but the world can't see it. Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance or the title deed of things hoped for. Faith is the substance. Mike Bickle calls it the title deed of what we possess in the spirit before it manifests in the natural. Biblical promises are like a title deed to what we already possess in the spirit. Now, I have the deed to this house, even though I'm still paying on it, and it's not mine yet. But soon it will be, in the name of Jesus, yes. Faith is the title deed in the supernatural, and then it comes to fruition in the physical or in this realm. When scriptures state that God hears our prayers, it means that he approves of our requests. When we pray according to God's promises and his will, we can have confidence that he approves of our request. It is at this time that we receive the request in the spirit realm. So 1 John 5:17, it says, this is the confidence. Hey, I love all these words. It's not like this is the hope, this is the maybe. It's always, this is the confidence that we have in him. Who is him? Jesus. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. 1 John 5:14. He hears he hears according to his will. Now, here's a caveat to this. Do I even get to it? Well, here's a caveat I'll say about this. Is that if we ask according to his will, there's a lot of times we ask things that aren't necessarily according to his will, per se. I totally believe in God's will for Tiffany. God's will for us is to have healing, correct? So I don't have to say, Lord, if it's your will, can you heal this so-and-so? I believe that's his will. If we pray for somebody's marriage, Lord, if we pray for so-and-so's marriage, do we all can say that it's God's will that we have a good marriage? Yeah. Now, is it his will that we have a Maserati? Not per se. Maybe, but not per se. I'm not going to make doctrine out of that. There. Huh? Well, just because he did it for him doesn't mean anything. I'm not saying that that's... It's in the realm. And so, and let me break this down. So I'm not confusing folks and where I stand on this. There's things in the spirit realm that are black and white. We know adultery, black and white. We know murder, black and white. We know don't serve any other god, black or white. We know that. But there's things that are kind of in a gray area. Oh, tattooing, that's kind of a gray area. Or other certain things that are gray area that in the church we have made doctrine out of. So, for me to say, is it God's will for you to have a Maserati? I'm not making doctrine out of it. I'm just saying for me personally, is that gray area to where I'll say, I don't know. I know healing is God's will. I know good marriage is God's will according to Scripture. I'm just trying to make so right. Well, maybe it is. Maybe it's not. You know, maybe I could say, well, it's God's will that I be rich. Well, no, it's not God's will in the sense that he knew how I spent money back in the day. We would have been living under the bridge. So at that point, now it's totally different. So anyways, hear what my heart is. And so there's the caveat to that. We pray, we're getting married, we're doing an outside wedding. We pray that it wouldn't rain. Is that according to his will? We can pray that. That's okay. Lord, can I do good on this test? That is according, we want him to, God wants us to be successful. We can pray that and be okay with it. Can we pray that, you know, my wife died because she pissed me off? Yeah, that's not going to happen. That's demonic. I'm totally out there. Something that's not, jeez. I want my wife to live. I'm not saying anything. I'm just, okay, let's get out of that one. So, what we're talking about in praying the prayer of faith according to the will of God is making sure that it lines up with the will of God. Oh, here's a good one. Okay, here's a good example. So God wants us to have healing. That is his will. So we can pray that for people. Lord, pray this. Now, I'll use myself for this one. There is this girl that before I met Tiffany, she's Puerto Rican. So, and I really liked her and I thought she was the one, and I was praying, Lord, let this be the one, yada, yada, yada. She was definitely not what the Father had. That was not the will of the Father for me. So was I praying? Yes, I was praying the will of the Father that I thought, but I was totally wrong in that one. It wasn't until I got older that my parents were like, we were praying that y'all would break up. I was like, golly. Now I have Tiffany. Huh? Yes. Our prayer request. Two ways, according to Mark 11:24. Jesus described how faith operates. He indicates that we receive our prayer in two ways. And then I'm going to go through five principles and we'll be done. I'm going to try to get this done in 8 minutes. Jesus described how faith operates. He indicated that we receive our prayer in two ways. First, we receive them in the spiritual realm. That's in verse 24, the B part. And then have them in the natural. We'll read 23 and 24. Whoever says this mountain be removed, cast down to the sea, and does not doubt in his heart because of the evidence from the Spirit, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will say whatever he says. that whatever he says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them in the spirit and you will have them in the natural. We need to be aware of the distinction between the supernatural and the natural realms to understand how prayer of faith works together. Maybe that's some more Jehovah's Witness wants to come over. And... oh, they're the Mormons coming over? Eh, everybody wants to come receive Jesus tonight. All right, so five principles. I'll go through this really quick. Five principles on how to pray in faith, grow in faith. Well, the first one is kind of not the principle, but kind of like the basis, is faith comes by hearing and the hearing of the word of the Father. You read your scriptures, you read, if it's healing, you read scriptures of healing. If it's for your children, you read things about your children. If it's for your marriage, you read things on your marriage. If it's for finances, you read things on finances. So number one, step number one is verbalize your request to the Father. A lot of people think that, well, God already knows what I want. I don't need to say anything. Make sure those aren't, oh. I don't need to say anything. God already knows what I want. Okay, yeah, he does know what you want, but there's something that happens when you verbalize. Because when you verbalize your ask, your wants, it requires, what it's do is it's asking causes us to connect with the heart of the Father. It's one thing, you know, I may know that Asher needs underwear. Or Asher needs a sandwich. I may need that. I may know those. I already know those needs already. But it's something different when he comes and says, Dad, I need some food. Can we go get some food or whatnot? There's something different. He connects to my heart, and my heart connects with him because I'm like, okay, yeah. What that means is that you're putting your reliance in, he's putting his reliance into me. When we ask, it's Father, I need this. That's that faith. It's the it's verbalizing your request. It's you're verbalizing that I'm putting all my eggs in your basket. I'm relying on you with pure confidence. James 4:2 says, in everything by prayer, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. I'm sorry, that's Philippians 4:6. James 4:2 says, yet you have not because you ask not. So if you don't get your pavers put in your driveway, no one helps you because you have not because you ask not. So, yeah. Step two, receive your request in the spirit realm. When scripture states that God hears our prayers, it means that he approves of our request. When we pray according to God's will, we know that he approves of the request so that we are to receive it in the spirit realm with confidence. Lord, I'm asking, Lord, I want my wife healed in the name of Jesus. I receive it in the spiritual realm. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Okay, maybe this will. Step three. There we go. Step three is this. Engage in faith that you have received what you asked for. Jesus spoke of the necessary of continually believing that we have received the title deed in the spirit realm to our prayer request as a condition for receiving them in the natural realm. Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them in the spirit and you will have them in the natural. I think it's the fifth dimension. Very good book, Dr. Youngi Cho. Really good. I encourage you, if you want to grow your faith, read that book. That book will blow your mind. And he uses a lot of these principles in the sense that you ask and you believe it and you receive it in the spirit and it comes into the physical. And so in the first part of the book, he's talking about how he wanted a bike to do missions work. He's a Korean. And yeah, he's Korean. Okay. I knew he was Asian. So he was Korean, and so he wanted a bike to get from place to place. And so he starts asking God, God, I want a bike. I want a bike. And nothing's happening. And he's like, God, why am I not getting a bike? And God kind of rebukes him. He's like, you were so broad in your ask. Narrow it down. What do you really want? And so he gets this revelation. So he starts praying, God, I want this bike that's made in the U.S. because it lasts longer. I want gears. I want this. He was naming specifically this bike. And so after he said it, he started thanking God. I thank you for my bike. He received, even though he hasn't physically had it yet, he started receiving it. Lord, I thank you for my bike that's going to take me from here to there. And he's seeing it in his mind. He's like, I got it. Oh, man, it's an awesome bike. Next thing you know, somebody comes up and is like, hey, we have this bike that we want to get you. And it's the exact bike that he wants. I mean, he goes through, I mean, his whole, at the, I think before he died, he had one of the, I think he had the largest church in the world in Korea. And Korea had the largest, I mean, it was a massive, really great book. And so, I mean, he even does it with furniture. You know, he's wanting some furniture for his office, for his house. And the Lord said, all right, name it what you want. What do you want? And he's like, be specific. And he's like, I want mahogany this. I want these wheels. And I mean, to the chair, I mean, to the, you know. And sure enough, God gives it to him. He grew his church. It, by faith, he grew his church. He stopped thinking. He stopped seeing his church of like 20 people. He's like, Lord, I'm believing for 10,000 people. Boom, he has 10,000 people. He starts believing for 20. Boom, he gets 20,000. I mean, it is the wildest book of using this principle of Mark 11:24 of receiving the title deed in the spiritual and it comes to fruition in the physical. Step three, engage in faith that you have received what you asked for. Jesus spoke of the necessary, okay, I already said that. But anyways, that's what Youngie Cho was talking about, continuing to receive it. A lot of times we ask for something, we don't get it, and so we say, okay, well, I guess God didn't hear me, or God doesn't want. We have to continue to ask. Tiffin is not completely healed yet. I still have to continue to pray. Lord, I thank you that you're healing her body. I thank you that, you know, this and this and that. Step four, we ask with persistence. Luke 11:8 talks about this. Knock and it shall be open. Knock and it shall be open. Press down, shaken together, running over. Seek and you shall find. And or remind the Lord of his work. Isaiah 62:6. This is what it says. This is the New American Standard. It says, you who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourself and give him no rest until he establishes what he promised. Continue to bug God. That's okay. We ask the Lord to release a blessing in greater measure in the natural realm along with thanking him and reminding him of what he has already given us in the spiritual realm. So that's me. I'm like, Lord, I thank you that you're healing my wife's body. We want more. I know I see her young again. I see her in the when she's a youth, Lord, and you know, young and full of energy and life and this and this. And I'm always reminding God. And so people think that's kind of weird. Why do I have to remind God? Doesn't God? Yes, he remembers everything. He doesn't have a lapse in mind. But the prophet Isaiah, I loved it. He says, you who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourself. In other words, keep bugging him and give him no rest until he establishes. God, you are not, I'm not going to stop bugging you until you heal my wife. I'm not going to stop bugging you until you heal my marriage. Bob, God, I'm not stop bugging you until my kids are redeemed or my wife is redeemed or my whatever the issue may be. The persistent, yes. Be persistent. And then lastly, step five is receive your request in the natural realm. Prayers that are in God's will are always answered in God's timing and way. Do not give up so quickly if the answer is delayed. Sometimes it's not in our time. I know we want it in our time. I hate God's time schedule a lot. Most 99% of the time, I hate God's time schedule. I wish he'd just be like, look, I'll give it to you in like 10 years. At least I'm like, okay, well, all right, cool. In 10 years, I have something to look forward to. When there's just this vague, it shall come to pass, my son. Yo, that's like, it's coming soon. Wait. In the next, in this season. Wait, what's that scripture that says a day is like 1,000 years and a year is 1,000, you know? I'm like, wait, hold up. You know, who's doing timetables? You know, we get frustrated as mortal beings because, one, our time is short in our flesh. We want results now. But, you know, it took David years. It took Paul years. Paul didn't get into the ministry, what, 14 years or so? Around 14 years, he went into the desert and kind of did some stuff. And it took him 14 years. David, look how long it took him. He was anointed king, but he went years before he actually sat on the throne. Noah, he built an ark, 120 years? Oh, man, something like that, 120, 140 years. God's timetable is really screwy sometimes, but it's in His way. It's His will. It sucks for us, but that's part faith. That's the faith that we exercise in Him. All right, God, I don't understand your timetable, but here you go. How does faith grow? By hearing and speaking God's word. We are to confess the word over our heart and over our circumstances and against the works of the enemy. We ask with perseverance. We thank God and remind Him of His promises, of what He has given us in the spiritual realm. I believe that as we grow in faith, we can have that God type of faith where we can speak to that. I believe that what Jesus was talking about in the Move Mountains isn't an allegory or a metaphor for something, but is a literal, yeah, you can do this. You really can do this, but you have to have my faith, our faith. When I mean our, it's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Their faith, the Holy Spirit was, well, I hope when God said, let there be light, I hope it comes to, they were all in one agreement, boom, light was there. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, you know, the disciples didn't think anything of it. Jesus said what He had to say. He walked off. He wasn't like, man, I wonder what's going to happen to this fig tree. He just went off, did what He had to do. Next day, that fig tree's dead. So I believe that as we grow in faith, that we can start walking in that God type of faith. So when you can look at your healing or look at your circumstances, you can speak to that mountain, and that mountain will literally move, which would be awesome. And all it takes is a little bit of faith. We all have done that from children's church when you have the little mustard seed and you take the little tiny mustard seed. Take this home to your parents, don't lose it, and go to a big old tree and blah, 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 blah. Remember my dad? You haven't been in children's church that long? Yes, put it on tape. My dad did all. We did the tape. We did the plastic baggies. All this stuff. Oh my goodness. So many mustard seed stuff. But that's all it takes, is faith as a mustard seed. It really doesn't take a lot, and God, the faith that the weakness that we have, He makes up for. So yeah, let's have that God-like faith, that let it be. Let's pray. And then we got to go. Well, I got to go and move some bricks. Yay! I'll have faith that when we get there, all this stuff is done already. So, Lord, we just thank You. Lord, help us to grow in our faith, Lord. Lord, we want to have that God-like faith. We don't want to stay at our minuscule gummy bear faith, Lord, but we want to have that faith that moves mountains. We want to have faith to see our children healed, our situations healed. And, Lord, we want to have that faith where there's no convincing us otherwise, Lord. And so, Father, I just ask that we would start speaking those things into existence. Lord, I just ask right now that You would, first of all, that You would keep the naysayers away from us, Lord, and that You would surround us with people that would have faith like us. In the name of Jesus, amen.